A Story of a Wedding Tour by Margaret Oliphant. Chapter 1. They had been married exactly a week when this incident occurred. It was not a love marriage. The man, indeed, had been universally described as very much in love. But the girl was not by anyone supposed to be in that desirable condition. She was a very lonely little girl, without parents, almost without relations. Her guardian was a man who had been engaged in business relations with her father and who had accepted the charge of the little orphan as his duty. But neither he nor his wife had any love to expend upon her, and they did not feel that such visionary sentiments came within the line of duty. He was a very honourable man and took charge of her small, very small property with unimpeachable care. If anything, he wronged himself rather than Janie, charging her nothing for the transfers which he made of her farthing's worth of stock from time to time, to get a scarcely appreciable rise of interest and income for her. The whole thing was scarcely appreciable, and to a large-handed man like Mr. Midhurst, dealing with hundreds of thousands, it was almost ridiculous to give a moment's attention to what a few hundreds might produce. But he did so, and if there is any angel who has to do with trade affairs, I hope it was carefully put to his account, to balance some of the occasions on which he was not perhaps so particular. Nor did Mrs. Midhurst shrink from her duty in all substantial and in real good offices to the girl. She, who spent hundreds at the dressmaker's every year on account of her many daughters, did not disdain to get Janie's serge frocks at a cheaper shop and to have them made by an inexpensive workwoman so that the girl should have the very utmost she could get for her poor little money. Was not this real goodness, real honesty, and devotion to their duty? But to love a little thing like that with no real claim upon them and nothing that could be called specially attractive about her, who could be expected to do it? They had plenty, almost more than enough, of children of their own. These children were big boys and girls, gradually growing in relays into manhood and womanhood when this child came upon their hands. There was no room for her in the full and noisy house. When she was grown up, most of the Midhurst children were married. But there was one son at home who, in the well-known contradictiousness of young people, it being a very wrong and, indeed, impossible thing, was quite capable of falling in love with Janie. And one daughter, with whom it was also possible that Janie might come into competition. The young Midhursts were nice-looking young people enough, but Janie was very pretty. If Providence did not fully consider all the circumstances, it cannot but be felt that Providence would not carry out, as often is done, such ridiculous arrangements. Janie was very pretty. Could anything more inconvenient, more inappropriate be conceived? The poor little girl had, accordingly, spent most of her life at school, where she had, let it not be doubted, made many friendships and little loves. But these were broken up by holidays, by the returning home of the other pupils, while she stayed forever at school. And not at one school, but several, for in his extreme conscientiousness, her guardian desired to do her every justice, as he said, and prepare her fully for the life, probably that of a governess, which lay before her. Therefore, when she had become proficient in one part of her education, she was carried on to another, with the highest devotion to her commercial value, no doubt, but a sublime indifference to her little feelings.